Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Old School coming to you live and direct from Studio 76 here in Valrico, Florida. It is great to be back on the air as we do intermittently throughout the offseason. You guys have been with us for over a decade. No, the offseason is not my favorite time of the year. I understand that oftentimes you could say championships are made in the offseason, but the reality is for those of us who are not in the core press and have access to the OTAs, though even with OTA access, you're not getting a tremendous amount of data, but it's certainly greater than zero. It's tough sometimes to get into the meat, which is what I like to get into, any fat jokes aside. Now, we're going to talk about a number of things this evening. Good evening, Chuck. I see you out there in the chat room. You other folks are coming into the chat room. Good to have you tonight. I know that the irregular schedule is kind of a pain in the ass for everybody because you don't know when you should be ready. And I, you know, we've said for years that it's always an interesting challenge to do a live show because you have to interrupt your real lives. And we appreciate that you guys do that and have done it for quite some time. So I'll do a little bit of housekeeping. We'll get this out there. And we know that the podcast, once it gets posted, will go to the other folks who are not here for the live show. For those of you in the chat room, let me know if the audio levels are good. Again, because we do this irregularly, I come back into the poker room here in my house. And everything is sort of the way it was, so it should work fine, and everything looks fine on this end. But you never know with the amount of technology that we use to make this stuff work. So with no further ado, I want to thank all of our regular listeners. I also want to thank our Patreons. There are a couple of you guys out there that still support the show that way, which is tremendous. We may re-engage that a little bit more this year as we have our organizational meeting coming up for the What the Buck crew in about 2 weeks. And I want to give you a little bit of background on that, and then we'll get into the conversation. And tonight's show is going to be a water cooler session. Mark Cook is up at the Buccaneers poker tournament there with the team. I saw a great picture with him and Scott Reynolds and Joe Hawley. I know they're doing that activity, which is one of the few events that I've never gotten a chance to go to that I'm actually really, really angry I don't get to go to because I would really enjoy that, I think, because I enjoy poker and the Bucks. But that's not a slight at Mark. I know that that's a special event, and that's just not something that I'm slated to go to at this point. And I'll just deal with that, and I'll cry into my drink after the show. But our crew, I want to explain a little bit. We have a crew that runs all of our events and activities. You can't throw a tailgate party for 600 people without having an amazing team to make that happen, whether it's the prep, setup, drinks, food, entertainment, cleanup. That's a lot of work that gets done, and we have an amazing group of people we've worked with over the last, you know, I guess our formal crew has been around for about 10 years, and it's gotten more and more formal over the years. So what we do every year in the off season, we get together, and we reevaluate. How did last year go? What were the high points? What were the low points? What did we think worked well? What did we think worked poorly? And I alluded to some of this on the last podcast, because with this influx of interest in the Buccaneers, that's got to be good for all Bucs fans. The more people that are interested, the more activity we can have. Hell, I see Bucs fans coming into town and trying to buy shirts and hats and all that sort of stuff. And you can't even really get that stuff anymore. I mean, our friend Dennis Pfeiffer used to have, you know, access to a bunch of stuff through Bucs Fan Tours. We'd be able to get through stuff through him. And then, you know, Jeff Fox had Buccaneer Heaven, Bucs and Bulls Heaven. There used to be a healthy ecosystem of this in the town. And when the Bucs started doing poorly, that somewhat predictably folded up, because this is, like many towns, I don't think that we are distinctly front-runner-ish, because Seattle's the same way, Dallas is the same way. And yeah, if you're from Seattle or Dallas and you have any issue with that, you can feel free to call in and talk about it, because I've lived in Seattle and I've got plenty of people in Dallas and visited enough because I know it's true. But we can talk about it. We can have that conversation. But with all of that, you know, we've got to figure out what the right thing to do is with our team. So we're getting together in about 2 weeks. So we'll be announcing a bunch of stuff about our schedule of events, whether or not we're doing a kickoff party. We've got the Hard Knock stuff that's coming up that everyone else is excited about other than me. And then we've got the tailgate stuff to let you guys know what's going on with regards to the tailgate. And then once we have that set forth, then we'll start putting together the schedule. And the show will start getting to a regular schedule as well. Now, I'll be out at One Buck Place next week for a, I think it's club season tickets only, but I'm not sure. There was a season ticket holder OTA session that they opened up to us. So I'll be out there for that. I'll get a chance to see the team. Hopefully get a chance to talk to my friends at the Buccaneers and see what's going on with our access for training camp and be able to give you guys a little bit of an idea about what kind of coverage we're going to have through training camp, because my intention is, as it always is, to cover all of training camp. Now, this year, you guys know the last, I guess, 3 years, I'm really, really bad with time and dates. You guys know that. The PFUFA, our Pro Football Ultimate Fans Association reunion, is held around the Hall of Fame game, and it normally stomps on the schedule of training camp. And while I love what they do there, and I've certainly been involved and continue to be involved, I am not going to the reunion this year, and we'll be able to cover all of training camp, or at least that's my goal. So we're going to try and do the best we can and cover training camp the way we cover training camp, which I think is a little bit different than some others, but that's okay. I think you're getting a chance to get a very well-rounded look at the team. Now, a lot of you, just like me, have said, listen, we're at the point now, guys, where just open this thing up. Let's get some open sessions, because they let fans in there that you can live stream. They don't have a whole lot of rules about it, it seems. And I think if anyone who were in interested enough to do it and had enough battery capacity on their phone and shook in the chat room is probably one of the guys who might do it if he comes up here. You know, you could live stream that whole thing. Now, they would probably take exception and then ask you to stop, which is totally within their purview to do. And in fact, as media members, as we are loosely associated and called during training camp at any rate, we have guidance about what's allowed, what you can live stream, how long they can be. The NFL used to be incredibly dictatorial about that. I remember vividly one of the few highlights that our Dexter Jackson made. I put the video up and the NFL pulled it off of YouTube in like, I don't know, 14 seconds. It was astonishing. But now they're a lot more open to that sort of thing. So we'll do the best we can. We're super excited about some of the staff stuff we've got going on the website. We're going to do the check presentation for the third annual Trunk Slammers Invitational a week from Sunday to One Voice. We'll let you guys know what that is. We'll have an article about that. And we'll also release sort of the hard release. We've already done the soft release to let you guys know. But we've already got our date for next year. It is going to be April 21st again at River Hills Country Club. Again, we're going to have the website up within the next 3 weeks so that you guys can pre-register, because we do expect this to sell out. We were very close to a sellout this year, and the excitement has grown. Getting the date early was one of the big things for us. So we just came off of going to the Ernest Graham 6th Annual Inshore Slam, which was a huge success, generated over $15,000 to One Voice. Ernest and his whole family and the entire team of One Voice did a great job. Our What the Buck people were out there supporting as well. It was a great event over at Hula Bay. The captains all did a great job. In fact, we had a couple of our folks do well. Aaron McGonigal placed in Snook, I think it was. And I'm not a Fisher person, so I'll screw this whole thing up. But regardless, it was a good time. And so we'll announce that, and we'll let you guys know what's going on for our other events throughout the year and how you can contribute. I want to also cover a little bit of that while we're doing this preamble. I want to welcome the new people to the chat room. I see D's Bucks over there in Pinnacle as well. D's Bucks, by the way, brother, your Welcome Aboard series is just going like wildfire. People are digging it. And hopefully you guys have gotten a chance to read that at whatthebuck.net. Jonathan has been doing a great job of welcoming these new players and giving you a little glimpse, which is phenomenal. He's gone deep into some of these guys. And the reality is some of these guys we may never see again, but to know they're here and have more than just their name on a sheet, and we're going to go walk through the roster tonight on the show to be able to go a little bit deeper and see what that looks like, and then go and see what they do in the practices that we're able to see. And that's really the window that we'll get. But what I was saying about the crew, we have the What the Buck crew, and there was some disharmony, I don't know, misunderstanding. You can associate, affiliate, align yourself with What the Buck however you want to. The reality is we've been fortunate that people care enough to do that over time. It's humble when you hear people, you know, or see people wearing the shirt or putting the sticker on their car or whatever it happens to be. And I know that our other groups that are out there now, the Buckaholics and the Stick Carriers, all those are seeing that, which is awesome. It's really kind of a fun thing to see that you have a common bond, a tie that binds. But there is a crew that can get a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning. And that's the difference between the What the Buck crew and people that just like What the Buck and affiliate with What the Buck. That's not wrong. That doesn't make you bad. It's not an exclusionary comment. The difference is I'm not calling you at 3 o'clock in the morning because I don't know if the pork shoulder is done or we don't know where the keg is or whatever the case may be. Now, we also have the What the Buck Really Matters crew. There is overlap for sure. I mean, the platform was the launching point. But the reality is not everyone has time to do the things that you have to do on the charitable side. And some of our members have done other things in charity that they're aligned with. So you can certainly participate at any level you want. If you have questions about it, fire a question to questions@whatthebuck.net. Myself or Cheryl will get a hold of you and let you know how you can participate. And a lot of times it's as simple as just participating in the things that she and the team put together, whether it's a peanut butter drive or toiletries or whatever the case may be. I know the Spring just put out the announcement. We retweeted as well. They're low on some toiletry items. We just try and be as active as we can. So other housekeeping, which is very little. I already thanked John Hinkle for the dope Welcome Aboard series, which is great. I want to welcome Simon Alexander. He's not tuning in. He's from the UK. We were trying to get that international flair. We had hoped that my man from Mexico City, Alberto, was going to be able to do this last year, but he's too busy with his real job, so he wasn't able to do it. Maybe he'll be able to do it this year. We'd like to get a little bit more international flair. Andy Finley and those guys in the UK, you know, it's just an amazing crew over there, and it's not limited to him. We've got, you know, buckpower.com has widely been respected as one of the most significant Buccaneers websites for years, and Paul Stewart and the crew over there are phenomenal. But, you know, we'd like to get some of the flavor from our side. And so Simon reached out to me and wrote an initial article, and we're going to be working with him to get some of his content up there as well. You know that we've got a good relationship with Gorder Samuel and the team over there. So we would certainly like to get some of that international flavor. I mean, we're listened to in like 30-something countries. So understanding why the hell that is true is fascinating, I think, for us Bucks fans. And then an apology. I want to apologize to the Tampa Bay Times. I already did this on Twitter, but I want to do it on the podcast as well. Our authors do a good job of trying to follow as close to journalistic standards as we can. We're a fan blog site. We're not journalists. We've never said that we were. But the reality is when we went in and procured pictures, we had to get the photo credit proper for Cliff Welch, who's a phenomenal photographer, and we'll be hopefully be able to leverage Cliff's work again this year. But when you go and you take pictures and you don't attribute them, it's a problem. And sometimes that happens, and it shouldn't happen. And we did that last week. It was an accident. We tried to rectify it as fast as possible. So to Lauren Elliott of the Tampa Bay Times, I want to apologize. We did get the correction made, but we will certainly endeavor not to do that moving forward. No, and D's Bucks, there's nothing for you to be sorry about. It was a mistake, right? It's here's the thing, guys, and when you do this stuff, you're going to fuck up, right? It's going to happen. The difference is to apologize, acknowledge it. This was not an attempt to usurp or steal. It was pointed out quickly by a member of the Times staff. I apologize to them. We fixed it as rapidly as we could. And I think that's the best that we can do. It was done with no malicious intent. We just got to make sure we try and do the right thing. Not everyone will do that. We endeavor to as best as we can. So there is, no, it wasn't egregious, but it's still wrong, right? And I'm in an IP world. My real job is an IP world. And so that's intellectual property. Those photographers are out there busting their ass, sweating their nuts off if they have nuts, and they deserve the credit, you know? And it's just a mistake. Not a big deal. We all make them. And so when you make a mistake, the right thing to do is apologize. And then additionally, and we have a little private group for our authors where everyone participates. We're going to make sure we try and get that better moving forward. And that's what we'll do. Our platform allows us to do it. So now our process needs to allow us to do it as well. So there you go. I think that's all of the housekeeping necessary. Tonight is a water cooler segment, like I mentioned. Mark Cook is off and about. The Pinnacle, you damn sure do mistakes. You spell your name like a weirdo. So we know you make mistakes. The phone lines are open for the entire show. Now, I've noticed over the last 4 or 5 years this trend of folks wanting to get their word out, which is totally cool. I appreciate that. We do it a little differently. We don't do the recorded version. That's certainly an approach that some have taken, and it's very popular, which is cool. If you'd like to talk Bucks, you can call into the show this evening. We're going to be walking through the roster. We got some notes that Pewter Report published. Trevor, I think a lot of them came from Scott, but Trevor was the byline, and that team over there has been doing a good job on those sorts of things. But the reality, in my opinion, which is sort of an odd transitional phrase there, is the 24-hour news cycle is yet again making things, you know, just shitty. There's not enough to generate the content that people want. Our Bucks fans, like fans everywhere, I imagine, are voracious. They constantly want new data. And in absence of new data, what we seem to do as a population, not just as Bucks fans, is we fabricate it. We make it up. We interpolate it. We take non-stories and make them stories. We start drama. We talk about bullshit. We talk about spouses. We talk about smiles and non-smiles. We talk about clothing. We talk about attendance or non-attendance. And I will implore you once again as a population, as a fan base, please stop with the fuckery. Sports can be very pure, guys. They really can. It is one of those places where at its best, it is a meritocracy. The best performance of that concert of players in a given day produces a winner that is immediately identifiable by the score. We have all argued before, oh yeah, well we lost, but. Y'all may have won, but. Yeah, you got a ring, but. But at the end of the day, the winner is determined by the score. And that is pure. So in so much as I can influence any of you, I will implore you all to stop with the TMZ bullshit. Now, that will be far easier when we have games to watch. Training camp helps, preseason helps, and by the way, the Bucks fan base, as long as I've been a fan, which is as long as I can remember, I have never seen this much excitement. And I got to admit it, I told you guys on the last podcast, it's getting me excited, and I was as disinterested as possible, which seems incredibly counterintuitive given the exciting things that are happening on the roster. I should have been just amped. But the reality of doing the things that we do means that sometimes the fun of the game can be stripped. And that is absolutely sad if you think about it. Because any of you who know me, who have had a beer with me, who've talked football with me, whether it's here or in Dallas or in Arizona, you guys know that I can get so amped about this. I love the game. I love the chess of it. I love the physicality of it. I love winning and losing. I hate losing, but I love the concept of a winner and a loser, right? So for me to lose some of that joy, and you guys saw it back in the Shiano era when I was wearing the black t-shirt, because I just think he completely pissed all over the franchise that I love, right? It pissed me off. But for me to get down, what's up, Flinttown? For me to get down was very weird. Now, what's happened, though, is I see, and there was a post on Facebook the other day, apparently there's a group of like 200 people going down for a Miami invasion, which is phenomenal. I know a lot of us are contemplating going down to Miami. It's an easy trip. It's a four-hour drive. Who gives a crap? Right? And it'll be an important game. Listen, Miami's up and coming. I was literally in Miami this week, and I'll tell you guys about the planes, trains, and automobiles crap that I had to deal with coming back because of this weather. But there's a random Miami fan. I was at in Wynwood, which is a really cool area. Pinnacle, you're just trying to piss me off saying you like Shiano. I know you're just trying to piss me off. So I was in Wynwood. Guy had this Tannehill jersey on, and he was doing exactly what all of us have done. He was the everyman of sports. Man, this is our year. You don't understand. This is what's going on. And he was just preaching to these guys at the bar about how the Dolphins, this was the year. They're going to take that next step. They took an initial step, but they're going to take that next step. And it got me fired up. It got me totally fired up, not because I'm a Dolphins fan, but because I saw his passion in his team and knew that that's what I have in my team at my best. And I thought about all the Bucs fans that are going down there. Flinttown, you going to Green Bay in December? I will see you there. I will be there come hell or high water. Bet on it. And Pinnacle, listen, there were things about Shiano that I did like. Shiano knows a lot of football. I always said that. I just think he pissed all over this franchise. I think there are people who know football who cannot be head coaches at this level. I think you can be head coaches at a college level. I think we've seen plenty of instances of that. But you were with me. You were with us, not just me, right? You know the beef that I had. You know the issues that we had. I'm not saying he did everything wrong, but I'm saying that I think he bore a tremendous amount of the blame. But Green Bay is definitely going to be on, though. So I will see you there, Flinttown. My plans, just so you guys know, and I'll get back to my Miami Dolphins and people going to Miami story here in a second. My plan for Green Bay is probably to go with Dennis Pfeiffer and Buck Fantores. They did a phenomenal job. No, they're not a sponsor of ours. They're certainly a friend of the program. They're very nice to us, very kind to us. In the past, they've given us a coupon code, which they may do again. I don't know. Save you a couple bucks on your ticket. You guys know I roll my own trips most of the time because I happen to know a lot of people in other cities, and it's just easy for me to do that. That's not because I don't think Dennis and his team wouldn't do a fantastic job, because they do. But quite often, I'll sandwich it with work or whatever. But when it came to Green Bay is a non-trivial logistical trip, because it's not like you're flying into a major city and then you're at the stadium. You've got to get the hell out there, and then hotels are not even there. They're somewhere else. So I will probably be going with them. So if any of you guys are thinking about that, get to buckfantours.com. Again, an unsolicited link to Dennis and his crew, because the event that I went there, the year I went there, it was absolutely phenomenal. We had a great time. But this Miami Dolphin fan had me all fired up, and I saw that we had 200 people going down there to Miami. That game matters, man. The Dolphins are a team that a lot of people are giving a lot of credence to. They have improved significantly. You have these opportunities, and I'm going to pull up the Bucs schedule while we're talking. You have these proof points, and anyone who's coached or anyone who's been a fan knows. You look at the schedule, and people have already done it. They've already gone through and said, I think the Bucs are going to be 11-5. I think the Bucs are going to be 10-6. And listen, here's my blanket statement to all of that. Bullshit. We don't even know what these teams are. Right? I know people have to do it. I know people like to read it. I know people enjoy the conjecture, and I know that I am in a narrow band that absolutely detests that process. Like, I get it. I really do. I don't care. I don't lie to you guys. That's how I am. Right? I don't get into that. For us to be able to sit back and make any claims that we can say who the Bucs are going to win or lose against right now, God, the Buccaneers website pisses me off with its pop-ups and bullshit. Guys, just stop it. To the Buccaneers, if you're listening, which I know you are, please stop with all the fuckery on your website as well. Thank you for adding the add to calendar on the schedule, though. That's nice. That only took 8 years. Okay. But you get that kickoff game, and Pinnacle, I know, the reasons are countless. We talk about it every damn season, and I know there are people who dig it. I totally get it. But we don't even know who's going to play. And that's if you totally ignore the risk of injury, right? And I know that you can never have a guarantee who's going to play. So once, well, let's say we get through preseason game three, the last significant preseason game, the most significant preseason game in most circles, then you can sort of play out that game. Then conjecture, I think, becomes something you can do, because you're not going to say, well, you can never predict what happens if Jameis gets injured. Well, yeah, I mean, if your star quarterback gets injured, everything goes off the fucking rails. That's the way it works, unless you're, you know, the Giants of yore or whatever. Or, you know, there are scenarios where it's happened and worked out well, but they're certainly the exception, the outliers. But when you start the season, right, the roster or not the roster discussion, but the schedule discussion is always fun, because everyone's doing the strength of schedule thing too. Well, look who they play. They don't play anyone until week whatever. You can't really tell. Last year, the Dolphins were solid. And so opening at the Dolphins is a great way to start the year, right? When you look at our preseason schedule, it's not a particular surprise. We played these guys a number of times. In most cases, the Jaguars are, you know, so close, it's not a big deal. We finished the third week with the Browns, who no one knows if they're ever going to play football again in Cleveland, but it doesn't matter. These four games are just practice. That's all they are. They're practice for everyone. They're practice for our grounds crew. They're practice for our training camp. They're practice for every single player and everyone that has a Buccaneers.com address. All that the team should be focused on in those games is exercising practice. It should be almost like an inter-squad scrimmage. The Bucs don't have to get people fired up. They don't have to go out there and try and hang a 50-burger on Cleveland. Not that we have the right to say that we can do that to anyone yet, because we haven't proven that we're a consistent performer yet. Though I have confidence we will be, and I want to make sure I caveat that, because I'm going to be painted with the brush of a negative or a cynic, right? I'm not. I am a realist. I am not a chest pounder. We have done nothing yet. That doesn't mean we can't do amazing things. So for everyone who gets real excited when some pundit says we're going to the Super Bowl, and when everyone gets all upset when someone says we're going to finish last in the NFC South, both you guys step away from the ledge and don't worry about it. So when you look at the preseason, you get these opportunities, and then you go to Miami. This is where you set the tone. Now, when we set the tone by winning in Atlanta, we got super stoked about it. But you've got to maintain. You've got to continue. So then we have Chicago at home. Chicago always brings a crowd, man. I don't care if they're 0-16. Chicago fans will come out to that game. Bucks fans, we're going to have our A game on that day. I remember the sombrero when it looked like Soldier Field South. The only games we sold out were the NFC Norris division, as Chris Berman used to say. So we're going to have to get our asses in those seats. So let's just say that we get down there and we do what needs to be done in Miami, and then we play a relatively struggling Bears team at home and have a chance to open up our home season with a win, and you end up at 2-0. Let's say that that happens. Be the best possible case. Everyone would agree. Then we go to Minnesota. Now, Minnesota, you know, brand new facility, a team that's been adding weaponry. I feel bad. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I hate for the injury he had. But, man, that's a game that's going to have a lot of eyes on it, and it sets up a brutal two-game series between the Giants and the Patriots with an NFL Network game. Pinnacle, you going to be in Minneapolis? Brother, I'll see you there, too. That's one of the ones I'm going to. I'm looking forward to the travel season this year, for damn sure. My first away game, I may sneak down to the Dolphins game because it's just too easy not to. You know, it's almost like I'd be a dummy not to. But Minnesota is one I'm definitely going to, and Green Bay as well, and then I'm trying to get to Buffalo and then New Orleans. But at any rate, the excitement here is understandable, right? You have those back-to-back home games against a significant... Yeah, you know, the Dalvin story might be a storyline, I guess. It's funny. That falls squarely... I'm going to minimize this so I can see you guys in the chat room a little bit better. That falls squarely into the don't give a shit. Like, it'll happen because there are people that think we should have drafted Dalvin, and I have nothing against Dalvin. Dalvin's a hell of an athlete, hell of a performer. I wouldn't have necessarily been mad had we ended up with him, though I think we have enough in the cupboard at the running back position, and we've talked about that before. That'll be the story. You're right. Former teammates with Jameis coming in, the Florida State connection will be certainly there. But the reality is, in my opinion, I say the reality is, and I should just say in my opinion, because it's just my reality. I don't mean to impose it on anyone else. What would make me happy as a fan, and yes, I know I'm an outlier as well, is if this became workmanlike. The reality for the team should be their job when they show up on a Sunday or a Thursday or a Monday, whenever the game happens to be, is to go score more points than the other team and walk out with a win, because that's what we fucking expect them to do. That is their job. That is what they are paid to do. They are paid to win. Only when you get to that point do you become a perennial contender. I assure you, the Patriots don't walk into a single game expecting to lose. They do not consider it. That is not their job. That's not me slobbering all over the Patriots, though I think slobbering all over the Patriots would be an appropriate thing to do, given what they've done over a long period of time. And you can take issue with cheating and all the other shenanigans if you want to. But the reality is that that team has built a juggernaut, a dynasty. And the goal should be to build one here. There's no reason that you cannot build one here. There's absolutely, I love it, Flint Town. Piss excellence, I love it. You have an advantage. We have no state income tax. We have beautiful weather. We have all those things from the old Bucks Life commercial that people seem to hate, but I thought was really fascinating. This should be the place to come. And if you want to come for the money, that's fine. I hope that our team does a good job with their contracts. We certainly have had times where we have done and times where we haven't. You have to hope that your investments make sense. And we'll talk about that as we talk about the roster when we get into the second half of the show. But it has got to be easier to build that juggernaut, that dynasty, that perennial contender in a place where most people would like to live. Now, I know you hear me as the token fat guy going, Jesus, it's hot and I would like to go north and I want it to be 7 degrees negative in Green Bay. I get that I'm the weirdo, right? If I didn't weigh 320 pounds, that wouldn't be the deal. It's easy, in my opinion, to recruit when you have a guy like Jameis at quarterback. You have Coach Cutter, who everyone loves. This is a guy that is going to draw people down here. His staff is going to draw people down here. Mike Smith, as long as he decides to stay here, this is the beginning of something. It could be the beginning of something really special, and that's what a lot of folks have been saying. I don't disagree. I just have to see it start happening. We have to see the results. But having lived through exciting seasons, both the years where we thought 10 wins were easy and the real difference was, would we beat Philadelphia in the playoffs? That was going to be the big question. It wasn't about if, it was when we got to the playoffs and we knew we would face Philadelphia. And the question was, would we be able to do that? To the storybook Super Bowl season. My man, the Patreon for Callum, from the UK, Callum, I want to thank you for supporting the podcast. The love is appreciated, my brother. If you guys want to know more about that, we'll put that on the website. It's out there as well. We'll remind you. The reality is we're never charging for our content, but we certainly do appreciate the support. Everything that we don't have to take out of our coffers or out of my coffers means more money going to the charity. You guys know this is a not-for-profit. That's how we've always run it. Generally speaking, that means that I have paid for everything that we do. But then we started building this other stuff that was going on, and so we were able to get some additional equipment. So big shout-out to Callum and our other Patreons. Out there. We'll try and make that a little bit more interesting. And if you guys have things you want from me, Callum especially, if there's things I can do for you, please let me know within reason. I'm not going to send you any nudes, though I don't think that's what you would like, nor do I think anyone would like that, to be honest. I don't even want to see those. But the concept is the same. University of Kentucky is awesome. Fuck you, Pinnacle. Go Duke. Go ahead, Toronto. We got Canadians in the house too. Good stuff. It's good to see you guys out there. So, at any rate, I want to remind you guys that the phone lines are open tonight. It is a water cooler show. 813-964-7364 to you UK folks. I have no idea how the hell you dial that. I assume it's some sort of a country code that proves that we think we're the best. I'm such an asshole. But if you're on Skype, it is at What the Buck as well. Greg, I do think I'm coming to Buffalo, and I will definitely see if I come to Buffalo. I gotta see some folks up in Buffalo, and that's one I want to go to. I got to admit, I'm a little bit Tar Heels. Of course, there's going to be some Tar Heel fan in the damn crowd. Luckily, it's my boy, so I can't get too mad about it. And we'll see come college basketball season again. We shit the bed this year, but that's okay. But the Buffalo thing, the tailgating, fortunately, I'm friends with Pinto Ron, and I'm sure I'll have people there that'll make it fine. But I'm a little apprehensive about tailgating there. Those guys get drunk and do dumb shit. So, all right, let's look at some of the notes. Scott Reynolds and Trevor and those guys had some notes. That JV Nellett had a big day today. The safety position, let's talk about it, because there's a lot of discussions about Chris Conte. A lot of he's become one of the become, that's not true. He has been and continues to enhance his position as a favorite whipping boy, despite the fact that typically when he's not injured, he does a pretty damn good job. He and Tandy look to be the leaders right now. You do know, and Scott or Trevor, whoever made this field note from PeterReport.com, did talk about Mike Smith likes to shuttle guys in and out of that safety position. The nice part for us is we have some depth there, and I'll pull up the roster sheet as well and filter it down to the safety spot. Let me get that pulled up here, guys. I've got a Excel spreadsheet because I'm a geek. And I went through, we've got 91 people on the roster, according to Buccaneers.com, who does not list Ali Marpet as center. They list him as guard still. And Callum, I think he gets a raw deal. And that's what his teammates in Chicago said, too, when he was signed over. They're like, listen, these videos that people are putting up of him getting beat, they don't take into consideration the fact that he was playing with like half a leg hanging off or whatever. And that can't always be the case. I'm not saying he's the greatest safety, you know, to ever play the game, but he's a guy who typically knows what's going on. Mike Smith has a lot of faith in him, and I think that once the rest of that concert comes together, this gets better. That depth is important. And it may be something he's a lovey holdover. It's funny, I discredit that so much, and I shouldn't. There's a lot of angst, and certainly I'm on the other side of the camp, so I get where that comes from, because I was not a lovey, an anti-lovey guy, and I get that the difference are there. And you don't have to be, this is something that we become so polar as a people, and I don't mean just in the U.S., but damn it. You can appreciate the good and you can point out the bad of everyone, right? And there are people jumping on Cutter for the Twitter thing that I said I agreed with, and everyone else is like, no, you've got to be a badass, pound chest, and I just don't get that, right? To me, it's like I told my players when I coached, and they're talking about celebrations and all this other bullshit. You know how you celebrate? You give the ball to the ref, and that's not because I'm old, and it's not because I don't want theater, and I enjoy theater, and some of the things are funny. Hell, when I'm getting old because names are just falling apart. Running back from Dallas, rookie, Ezekiel Elliott, when he scored and jumped in the damn Salvation Army thing, that was funny as shit. I thought it was great. I had no issue with it. I didn't like that he scored on the team, but I thought it was incredibly inventive and funny, and if they can do things like that and generate interest in things that matter or whatever the case may be, I have no issue with it. Now, personally, I always thought it was cool when you score to say, well, that's what I'm paid to do. I expect to get in the end zone. If I don't make a house call two times a game as a running back or a skill position, then I screwed up. I didn't get my opportunities. I didn't help my team. So this isn't my excitement. My excitement is looking at a ring at the end of the year. That's what I'm trying to build up to. But you can have the other stuff, right? You can have that. And so the Lovey holdover is kind of an interesting statement. So at the safety position, according to the roster on Bucs.com, Chris Cronte, Justin Evans, Alex Gray, Isaiah Johnson, Keith Tandy, and J.J. Wilcox. Now, you look at that stack, and to be honest, you got a kid from App State, and Alex, rookie, is going to hurt him. I think, from Texas A&M, Justin Evans is making the team, And Greg, I'll get back to your comment about Mike Smith in Jacksonville, because that's a good point, and it was a point that was made by a guy on NFL Network that I talked about the last podcast as well. Getting some meat in that middle becomes interesting, because if you have, let me finish the safety thing, and then Greg, keep me honest about that to go back to the defensive tackle story, because I think that's important, especially in light of the potential inclusion of a 3-4 package. Isaiah Johnson is getting some cred. I don't think you see, I don't think I'm going out on a limb to say Conte and Tandy are on the team, J.J. Wilcox is on the team, Justin Evans is on the team. That's your four safeties, guys. Now, you can P-squad the other guys if you want to, if you think they're safe, but those are your four safeties. And I don't think that that's bad, right? I don't look at any of them and go, oh, fuck, what are we going to do if he's in the game? Now, I know many of you probably do that with Chris Conte, but when I look at the number, we have 91 on the roster, and just the people that I earmarked as most likely to make it, meaning they're in the stack rank, we're at 49, guys. This is the right problem to have. When you start this process and you're like, well, there's 30 people we can't get rid of, you know you're fucked. You know you're in for a long year, because you've got to try and go find 23 other guys that are good enough to make this roster. At this point, I think we already have 49 guys that are good enough to make the roster that we probably should, that are going to have to be unseated. Correct, Greg. Now let's go back to the defensive line, defensive tackle discussion, because I think that's a really good one. And I think there's been a lot of conversation about this, especially in light of the concept of potentially including 3-4 sets. It was funny, I was watching a highlight from BuckPower.com. I think it was BuckPower.com. Pretty sure it was. Showing some of the 100 Best Buccaneers. It's been a great series they've been doing. And again, I apologize if it's not buckpower.com. I'm giving you credit for it because I think it was you. And the Bucs defense of old in a 3-4 and watching them fly around the field. And like I said, I'm not an anti-3-4 guy. I like the 4-3. I've grown up in the 4-3. I'm more comfortable in the 4-3. But 3-4 is a fun defense, man. It really is. And if you've got guys at your nose tackle position, right, at the zero, typically the zero anyway, that are heavier in the ass, that can actually play a traditional nose tackle in a 3-4, then you can do that, right? If you put an undersized tackle in a 3-4, they're just going to gouge you up the middle. So getting some of that beef in there to help out Gerald McCoy and go, you know, smaller around the end becomes very, very intriguing. And 345 is beef, guys. 320 at this size is beef. Now, you know I'm a Clinton McDonald fan. He's not. He's 297. He's tipping the scale right there. He's the guy you expect in a 4-3. He's faster. He's going to get after the quarterback. I have no issue with that. But when you have accessibility to these guys that are stout, you can definitely roll into those different configurations, which becomes a really interesting approach. The next note was about Ryan Fitzpatrick being a gunslinger. There's a lot of noise about Ryan Fitzpatrick. And again, I want to remind you that the phone lines are open, 813-964-7364, or on Skype at What the Buck if you'd like to call in. I certainly will have conversation with you. You guys are with me all the time. I want to make sure you know you're welcome to do that in a real-time format. So if you have things that are exciting you or things that you're interested in watching, feel free to do that. And I did forget, I apologize, Simon Alexander, his Twitter, if you want to go ahead and follow him in advance of his first article, is at Share My Year, SHAREMYYEAR. Expect his first article to be out by the end of the weekend. Linebacking core, Quan Alexander continues to impress. Now, the linebackers are always critical. Front seven's important. You got to get after the passer. They also have incredible responsibilities in coverage. Go to a 3-4. This becomes even more interesting because now you got more linebackers essentially on the field. We've got to have the depth there. Now, you cheat a little bit, I think, with some of the guys we've got at defensive end, like the Noah Spences and Jacquez Smiths of the world, who can, you know, take their hand off the ground and move back to that position. When you look at the size of these guys, Noah Spence at 251, that is super, super light. The Amish rifle. Fitzpatrick, the Amish rifle. We'll talk about the quarterback thing in a second, and I won't get into a long-winded diatribe about Colin Kaepernick or anything like that because I think people are sick of hearing it. But 251 is super light, guys. I love Noah Spence. My beef about Noah Spence is he didn't have an inside move, so as soon as people figured out that, they just shoved him into the middle and washed him away. And that's not a slight to Noah Spence. Again, for anyone out there going, Noah Spence was awesome, you're a jackass. It's not a slight. He was a rookie. He was super, super fast. He had a great outside move. He could kill people with his outside move. But as soon as you realize that as a tackle or a coach, you adjust and he becomes one-dimensional. And then he's a liability. When you're one-dimensional, you are a liability. Whether your one-dimension is a bull rush, a spin, outside, you have to have more than that in your arsenal. You just do. And that's why I hope in this offseason, in addition to getting just ripped up, you know, physically, I hope he's been working on his craft. Because we've seen guys go and get ripped up and drop some weight and everything's, oh, well, less weight, better, faster, more athletic. And it's usually true, guys. This isn't a fat guy defense position here that I'm going to take. But if you get too light, you're just too easy to block. That's just the way it works. It becomes a physics issue. Let's look at the George Johnson. Does he make the team? I'm glad you brought that up, Greg. I was an old school George Johnson guy. I thought George Johnson, he's never going to be Michael Bennett. Right? But I thought he was one of those guys who could sort of do everything. This is a bit of a stretch, too. Will Golston, before Will Golston got even better. Like, I'm a huge Will Golston guy. You guys know that. I think he has worked incredibly hard at what he does. I think he deserved the contract. I think the more you see Will Golston on the field, the more you'll see Will Golston make big plays. This is a guy who I think doesn't get enough credit and will be one of those guys that you're like, damn it. Why are we saying his name so much? Because he's really good. I thought George Johnson could be that. He has the ability to do it. I'm not sure how broken he has been. If he's been broken, then that explains it. If he hasn't been broken, then he's just lost some of that thing that he had. I like the guy, but he just hasn't shown it. Hasn't shown on the field. So when you look at the keeps, what physics formula? It's a mass equation. I don't care how good you are in small space. If you are less massful, a larger massful object will stop you. That'd be a fun article, right, though, to actually go into the physics of it. Now, in space, that changes, obviously. In space, that totally changes. So your point's a good one. And that's really why, if you think about, you know, the wide nine became all the rage when the Giants started running it, you know, stacking their defensive end that was super fast way outside. We tried it ages ago with that kid from Florida State whose name I can't remember. He got down to a sprinter stance, and he's a linebacker number two. What the hell was it? You guys don't remember who he is. And you just, essentially, you're running, you know, a 10-yard dash. But when you go out that far, you create interesting splits. And then what people do is they just run inside the splits. You can't be predictable. You have to be able to move. Dakota Watson. Thank you, Cash. Dakota Watson. Like I said, for some reason, I used to be like locked in on names, and I've been losing. I think it's because I'm getting older, which I am, by the way. That's how time works. But on the defensive line perspective, you know, Jacquees Smith shows up at 260. I don't know if that's legit. Both of those guys are light enough that they can split out. So let's look at the linebacker position, because we did see that there's some concern about us being thin at linebacker. I don't think that's necessarily a bad or an incorrect assertion, because we all know the names, right? My brain is getting less massful. Oh, I like you, Flinttown. You're entertaining. And it's probably true. It probably has something to do with the amount I've been drinking, which is also making my belly more massful. So it's really an interesting transition. I wonder if there's some sort of exchange going on. But let's read through the linebacker position. I'm going to Levante David, obviously we know. Quan Alexander, obviously we know. I've got Devontae Bond as a lock as well, which may not be a fair lock, but I have him as a lock. And then I've got a Darius Glanton as well, because I liked what I saw of him on special teams. But you're right. Put a quarter in, you'll dance. Nice. You look at the rest of this, and it's a whole lot of we don't know. We got rookie out of Wyoming, rookie out of Michigan State, rookie out of Mississippi State, rookie out of Louisiana State, right, with Kendrell Beckwith, with I think a lot of people are hoping turns out to be interesting for us. This is one of those spots where training camp becomes really, really critical. We're going to get a chance to see who the guys are who can show up when you're running scrimmages. I got some text coming in here. I'll see if they're related to the show. But knowing how deep that linebacking core becomes, because we can add those two, we take them out of the defensive line, and we move them back to linebacker conceptually, right? And all of a sudden, we end up with 6-7 deep. But you've got to have four that shuttle. You need 7 or 8. I think that the fun part for this is going to be that these coaches are going to get a chance to really really experiment, really tinker a lot. Well, I already told you the four that I had is a lock. I think that the last one is Kendrell Beckwith. So I think there's your fifth. Those are the five that I have right now. Now, that's all without seeing a single thing they've done. But I think it is very safe to say Levante David and Quan Alexander are on this team. I think they're locks. Past that, I think you could certainly argue. I think that everyone else there could lose their position. Yeah, someone come out there and just, you know, Debo bitches all over the field, and I think that he can go stake his claim to a spot. So let's transition a little bit into training camp and methodology, because my first experience will be this week at OTAs. Obviously not quite the same as full training camp, but it'll be a first look. You guys know that I tend to focus on some interesting things. So I'm going to be looking a lot at these spots that we've been talking about. I'm going to be looking a lot at linebacker. I'm going to look a lot at what these big guys look like with regards to movement. I like having the bigger guys in the middle, but you've got to have that athleticism too. The days of the Sam Adams of the world are almost gone. You don't have a guy who lists at 375, who plays at 415, go in there and just kill people. I don't think. You can if you're predominantly a 3-4 team, I guess. You can 2-gap him. But I want to know, I believe that Mike Smith is still going to enforce and drive this athleticism concept. You want your defense, and one of the things that used to get talked about all the time but doesn't really get talked about in the Wayback Machine is the Buccaneers' defense never, ever, ever got outran. From the fattest guy on the field to the thinnest guy on the field, they were going to outrun you. It didn't matter if you were the greatest show on turf. You weren't that much faster than the defense. Right now, the idea going into the Super Bowl that a lot of people had was that the Raiders were the antithetical position. They were big, you know, bludgeon you, huge. We're just going to trample over these little undersized defensive players. Yeah, it didn't work out. Now, it didn't work out just because we had a bunch of other things going for us. It didn't work out because it's really hard. It's certainly an approach. It's an approach that worked very well in the movie Rocky Balboa, mind you, which is a much better film than people give it credit for. But on the football field, I have always leaned to the side, the Coach Carter-esque approach, faster, better conditioned. So even our guys that are tipping the scales closer to 350, you need them to be that crazy athletic 350 that exists that we've talked about for over a decade. It's a real thing, guys. Now, training camp, I'll be watching those guys to see how fluid they look in drills, and that's where it'll matter. A lot of people pick on underwear football and say you can't learn anything because they're not in pads and they're not hitting. And I have said it for years. I still believe it to be true. It's been backed up by coaches. That is fucking bullshit. You can learn a ton. You can learn a ton from watching them run drills. You can watch how people cut. We talked about running routes and what's different. Change of direction matters. Everyone looks at the 40 speed. By the way, go Google, if you are on a computer, which I assume you are. Some of you may be on your mobile devices. Go Google the top 10 40 times at the combine. And look at how many of them turned out to be great football players. The 40 is an interesting metric. It's a metric that's fun to watch, and it's great for dick measuring. Well, figuratively speaking, it has nothing literal to do with it, obviously. But the reality is football speed is not in 40-yard segments. Really, your 10-yard split is probably the most interesting piece. Change of direction becomes far more interesting. So whether you're 180-pound wideout or DB, or whether you're a 340-pound defensive tackle, I want to know how well you're balanced, how well you change direction, how good your vision is, what your instincts are for players in space. These are things that you can see without getting the shit kicked out of you in a full contact practice, which, by the way, even when you go full contact in practice, it's not the same as a game. So to disparage quote-unquote underwear football because it's not the same as a game is just fundamentally dumb. It's a fun phrase, and I don't have any problem with it. People can throw it around all they want to. But there are a ton of things you can learn, and that's why coaches do it. If you told all those coaches, you know what, we're going to go full pads on all practices if you want to, they wouldn't do it. Ray Perkins wouldn't do it anymore. He might be dead. I don't know. Sorry if he is. Don't mean to be callous. But the point is, you can learn a lot. Now, Hargraves, that's the next note up on the... I think that's the next note. No, it wasn't. That was in another article out there. By the way, they've been doing a good job, I think, as usual, on their OTA coverage. The last note is an interesting one. I think it's going to cause some interesting conversation. Flint Town, you're taking the lead as most entertaining chat room person, for sure. Ray Perkins references from time to time. It happens. Quarterback's going to be another good camp battle. I agree. These Bucks, I think it's going to be a huge battle. These guys have got to be aggressive. Turnovers matter. And the comments that I referred to on the last podcast about how the defense was improving towards the end of the year, if that trajectory can continue, guys, I'm gonna say it like this. Everyone's excited about the offense. I'm excited about the offense. But the story may be the defense. This defense is starting to smell like it could become scary. Callum, I know you got a big election out there. I happen to be in your camp, as it were, pulling for Corbin. But I don't know if your populace is going to go along with you, by the way. But on paper and on their film before they got here, right? We're not relying on a lot of people that don't have NFL film. Mike Smith has a lot of great tools. Buck boy in the house. And that could be your tone setter. I have no doubt that Coach Cutter and the team, Jameis and the receivers and the tight ends, oh my, can put up points. When this becomes really exciting is when the other team can't, right? I was having the conversation with someone the other day, you know, Sappin is give me 13 and we win the game. I think it was give me 13. Now it's so old I may forget that too. I think this offense is good for over 20 every game. I don't see a team being able to stop them from scoring, short of doing what we used to have to do, which is keeping the offense off the field. Well, if your defense is really good, they can't employ that tactic. The metrics of success are three and outs and turnovers. Because if you can beat that offense that soundly, forcing them to have short drives, occasionally getting the turnover, you will tire out that opposing defense, and I guarantee you, I don't care what cornerback you are, you do not want to be chasing DeSean Jackson all game. You do not want to try and be tackling Mike Evans all game. And I think I pounded my chest a little bit on this in the last podcast with Mike Evans coming out saying he wanted to be a better runner after the catch. I've only been saying that since he got here. I love Mike Evans. If I have to choose, I will choose the Mike Evans he was last year every time. Every single time. But when I look at him physically and I know what I think he can do physically, I think that the ceiling is still way up there for this kid. He is a special athlete, and he seems to have a special work ethic. Greg, I think you're right. Keeping Mike Smith was huge. I think everyone knew that. Everyone hoped that would be true. What I hope is, and I said this last year on the podcast, because everyone's like, oh, he's gone. Listen, man, he's been head coach. I'm going to preface this. To be that good at something, whether you're a player or a coach, most of the time you have a level of arrogance. It's just going to be there. It's probably the thing that drives you. But at some point you want to win. You want to get the ring. And when you get one, you want to get two. It's like any other pursuit. 100% of nothing is useless. If you can form a team, if you can form an alliance, if you can form a group that can go get those wins, can go get those rings, and you've done your part. If he wants to carry that on later after a bunch of winning and go become part of another coaching tree, the Cutter coaching tree, which is probably would be a stretch given the age disparity there, but and go do it again, take a run at head coach because he wants to do it his own way, Sinatra style, great. But for the foreseeable future, and by foreseeable future right now, I mean with this stack of talent that has been assembled, ride this out. I just think you're crazy not to. I don't think it'll be nearly as hard to keep talent here as people thought. Even when they're really good, Mike Smith could be a head coach tomorrow. I agree, Greg. I hated him in Atlanta too, but I respected the hell out of him. Everyone knew he was a good coach. You hate playing against a coach like that. You may not like Bill Belichick, but he is fucking good at what he does. So, best on paper, possibly. I tell you, Buck Boy, it is exciting. I get why people are pounding their chest. I don't like it because, like we said, and we didn't coin the phrase, potential means you haven't done shit yet, but that's what it comes down to, right? We can keep pounding our chest about the Atlanta Falcons losing that lead in the Super Bowl, but they were there. They were there. We were outside the party, looking in. We're on the red carpet taking pictures of people in their outfits. We didn't get to go inside. And as a fan, I'm sick and tired of not being able to go inside. I want the Bucks to charge me for playoff tickets that I use. I want to try and sneak my way in, apparently, because people are such bitches now that they make rules against it, to playoff games in other cities. These are problems that I want to have. I want to have to make the decision or go talk to my wife and say, "Hun, listen, I need $7,000 for a Super Bowl trip. Yes, I know that's a lot of money and it's stupid and I shouldn't do it." That's an argument that I want to have. And I may be low on the number. As fans, this is all that we can ask for. We want to get to the dance. We want to get into the playoffs. And then it's win or go home. And there's nothing more pure than that. Nothing. I agree, Greg. 97. And what's funny is I was reading an article about that the other day, and it wasn't, and it was from SAP. No one's excited when you injure a player. Like we said before, those guys are paying for their groceries, right? That's their profession. They've got families to take care of. And you can get mad about people saying that, but it's true, guys. It's true. Just like you going to work, they're going to work. Average life expectancy, 2.5 years. options afterwards, not great for most. So you don't want to injure someone, but that was a tone setter. We need to set the tone now. You set the tone with wins. It's that easy. It's workmanlike. You show up. You strap the pads on. You get your cleats on. You go get a larger number on the scoreboard than the other team, and you move the fuck on to the next. And you do that every week. It's never about trying to win 16 games with the Patriots, which had done that. It's always one game. I almost made a Linkin Park reference, and I almost wanted to kick my own ass. But as a Bucks fan, I am super excited about seeing the first game, even the first preseason game. I don't care. And honestly, I don't care if they do it the way we did practices. I just pick on Linkin Park sometimes because it's easy. There's some Linkin Park songs that I enjoy. They give me hype. I'm not lying. But I also like Indigo Girls. I'm very odd. Musically, I'm very eclectic. So, guys, I appreciate you tuning in. the travel season, like I said, for those of you who are going to travel, stay in touch throughout the season. We always try and get together with folks when we're in town. And when I say we, what happens is I usually say what's going on, and then people are like, oh, we're going to get together. I know that the Buckaholics are doing a huge invasion of Arizona again. I don't know that I'll make it to Arizona again this year. It was fun. But I've been there, so I don't know if I'm going to go there again. But my goal certainly is Minnesota, Buffalo, Green Bay, New Orleans, and then Miami, because Miami's easy. So best offseason ever potentially, man. I'll tell you what, it's exciting. It is absolutely exciting. So get your Bucks gear polished up. Callum, if you come over, brother, let me know. We'll take care of you. You know that. We'll make sure you have places to stay and things to do and all those sorts of things. If you guys are coming down for the year, once we get things squared away with what's going on with the tailgate, we'll let you guys know what the situation is there. But even outside of the tailgate, guys, if you come into town, you know we try and host you. We try and make sure you have a good time. We'll go out there and have some drinks with you or whatever the case may be. But pay attention. Enjoy. That's right. In Ybor was fun. Enjoy the off season. I'll get you some content when I'm on site this week for the season pass holders event. I'll try and get some information that would be useful, and I'll see what I can do with regards to some interviews too, though I don't know that. So no audio. What do you mean no audio? I think we're fine. I got an extra seat for the seventh year straight. Nice. Lambo will happen. 50. I like 50, Greg. So happy almost birthday. And we will take care of that. So anyway, to all you guys listening, especially to you Patreons out there, thank you guys. Follow us on Twitter, interact with our articles. These Bucks, dude, keep knocking the ball out of the park. You're a freaking animal, and I love the stuff you're doing. I'm going to talk to JC De La Torre, see if he's going to get back into his swing. He's finishing up his movie. Our writing staff is going to start amping that stuff up here as we get into the OTAs, outside of the OTAs into training camp. We'll get those things amped up. We're going to try and create some more opportunities for interaction. And if you guys like those things, if you like the articles and you like the podcast, do me a favor. For those of you who remained through the live show and for those of you who listen to the podcast tonight or tomorrow, I don't usually pander for these things, and this isn't really pandering. It's just a simple request. Share them. If you like the things that we do, share them. Share the podcast, share the articles, interact, write reviews, do those things. We've never went out there and asked you guys to do them. But it might be nice. We've been around for a long time. I found the original article written in the Brandon Times. I'm going to take a picture of it and post it from me and D. Sanchez, my original co-host and my buddy, when I was in another room in the house. It's been a long run, guys. Thank you, Pinnacle, for sharing on Reddit. D's, you got three more welcome awards. I'll get those edited and scheduled this evening or tomorrow morning, Jonathan. So new shirts. We always do new shirts at the beginning of the year. The logo that we changed last year will be the logo moving forward. We're not changing that. We did drop the question mark because we are no longer a question. We are the answer. But we will have new shirts this year, and we will have e-commerce this year, which we managed to stub our toe on all last year because we suck. So thanks to all of you who've been with us for a long time. We'll be with you for a long time. And until next time, which will probably be next week because I'll have something to talk about, Go Bucks.